We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is the Thursday edition. The weekend is almost here. I am one of your co-hosts, Jason Perrone of the Pack-A-Day Podcast and the Quick Slants Podcast over at Game On Wisconsin, along with Mark Eckel of Packer Report. Mark, I say it every week. We're always one more week closer to actual Packers football. It's exciting. And there was a game last week.
Yeah. Something that resembled a game.
Something like that, right? And we'll talk a little bit about that and what's happened this week in practice, a joint practices with the New Orleans Saints ahead of this weekend's game against the preseason game against the Saints. That'll be at Lambeau Field. But as we always do before we get things kicked off here, we start off with the weather. Not as many entrants this week, so it'll be a quicker weather report. So we only have one entrant from Germany, and that's our friend Felix out in Germany. But he has two weather reports because he will be in the Netherlands through this weekend. He's playing cornhole in the first European Cornhole Open ever hosted by the ACL, which is not the anterior cruciate ligament. It's the American Cornhole League. Did you ever heard of that? I've never heard of it.
So. I actually, only reason, it's funny you say that. A friend of mine down here, her son is involved in that. He was, he just graduated college like last year. He was in the, he was one of the best college cornhole players in the country.
Okay.
And I look at cornhole as a game you play on the beach or at a picnic or something. I didn't realize there's, but no, I guess it's like everything else today. It's becoming more and more popular.
There's a sport. It's an actual thing, right? Well, says that he said it from the vineyards in Offenburg, southwest Germany. Finally got some rain, which is good. His vines are happy. Rainy the whole day tomorrow. Temperatures between 62 and 78. He's very, very glad that the 90-plus temperatures are gone. But in Rotterdam, the Netherlands, said perfect indoor cornhole weather. He got a little funny wink there. But he said outside it's foggy in the morning, cloudy during the day. Low of 60, high of 79, which is pretty close. Pretty, you know, same weather as he's.
Now, is he playing in the cornhole league or is he just going to watch?
I think he's going to participate.
Oh, he's a player.
He's playing.
Okay.
He's playing, and he said, hey, watch, look out. There might be some stuff coming our way here from his vineyard. So that's exciting.
Oh, that's even better.
So that's from the European contingent, and I just want to say hi to all of our usual fans out across the pond. I always thank them so much for all their support and for listening in and for being such avid followers of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, especially the Thursday crew. But Mark, we're already to you in Myrtle Beach on the East Coast. How are we looking?
Cooler, much cooler. I would say the last 2 days, especially, and Thursday should be the same. It's been barely touching 80 after the 90, you know, it was in the 90s for most of the summer. It's been, it's really cooled off some, which is, you know, it's a big difference.
Okay. No, that's good. No, that's very good. Good stuff. And then in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where Paul Bredel resides. Hello to Paul. We haven't seen Paul. We'll hope he's doing well. I'm sure he is. In Green Bay, it is a high of 84, low of 60 on Thursday, 47% humidity, Mark. Okay. But it's in the mid-80s.
That's good camp weather.
That's not too bad. Yeah, that's not too bad.
It could be a lot worse.
End of end of summer weather, as I guess I would call it there. Here in the Phoenix locale, the only exciting thing that's going on right now is we have gotten an abundance of rain lately. It's almost like, I feel like I'm in Florida almost a little bit, because we've had we had so many days with rain. It's almost like the same time every afternoon we get a little bit of rain. It's like that monsoon season, and it's been coming through. And well, remember, it is what did we refer to it as? La Nina is what I think our friend Isaac in Northern Illinois said was going on, and so that's obviously affecting the weather patterns a little bit here. So it's still near 100, but some humidity and some rain. There's rain in the forecast every day through Sunday.
Wow.
I mean, it's not going to rain all day, but there's like a chance of some rain coming through. But in Phoenix, that could also mean that we don't get any rain at all. We might just get a dust storm. We could get like a small sprinkling, or it might rain for 3 hours. Who knows? So I guess I'll let you know. If I blow away, you'll know. If I'm not on the show next week, then something went seriously awry. But I think I should be fine. And then our friend, actually, you know what? I completely skipped over Jay Perry in Liverpool, which is also across the pond. So I screwed up our order here. He said it's been hot the last week, gone back to cloudy now, 69 degrees Fahrenheit. Think summer is over now with the temperature hitting 69. Hopefully that's an ode to David Bakhtiari and some good vibes for Bach getting himself back, hopefully sooner than later. And then, of course, as always, our friend in Kamloops, Canada, Harry, in the midst of a heat warning. Compare and contrast to the Phoenix area. High of 99, low of 64. Beautiful sunny days, lots of lake and pool time this week. Summer's hanging on.
All right.
We're still August. It's still summer, so of course it should still be hot. So, all right. So the Green Bay Packers, Mark, they've been doing some things right now. Let's start with preseason, because we didn't get a chance to talk about the game. We don't need to talk about the Niners game. It's been dissected way too much. But remind everybody too, we talked about preseason, how important it is for players to play, what these games mean now that there's been one game of action. Twitter has not disappointed in their reactions and overreactions to everything that happened in the game. A lot of it was directed at Jordan Love, of course, because he's the quarterback, and quarterbacks always get the bulk of the attention, whether for good or for bad. So remind everybody what the preseason games really mean to you.
Nothing. Don't get hurt.
Just stay healthy.
That's what they mean to me. Don't get hurt. If nobody gets hurt, it's a good game.
As far as, and we don't have to break everything down too, but like, so I assume as far as everything that we was heard about the game from either fans or from the media, the writers, the team themselves, a lot of coach speak and things like that. Not a lot to take away in your mind, right? Not after one preseason game.
No. Again, nobody got, you know, well, one guy did get hurt.
Dallin Levitt,
the safety they picked up from the Raiders. Apparently it's pretty serious.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good at all. Andy Herman.
The shoulder.
Andy
Herman. Usually shoulders aren't, you know, all right, you miss a couple of weeks with a shoulder, but this sounds like he might not make, you know, this could cost him a season.
Yeah, Andy Herman mentioned earlier this week. It sounded like that was more serious. I haven't heard any updates since then, but I always appreciate everybody on the ground and kind of talking about what it is that they do. So then following the preseason game, you had these joint practices. The Saints are in town. Now, the Packers did this a couple years ago. The Texans came in and they practiced with the Packers. There was mixed reactions on the team as far as, do they like it? Is it effective? Is it not effective? You and I talked a little bit before the show. I think you and I, we usually kind of, you know, not on everything, but we share a brain on a lot of things too because of how long we've been watching football. But it's a pretty good alternative to playing in a preseason game, practicing up against other guys where you can control the environment. It's not in a game where you got to get the ball carried to the ground, for example. You can let up if you need to. And so we both like the joint practices.
Oh, I like them. I told you this when I covered the Eagles all those years, every coach, and I covered however many coaches, five or six, whatever it was, every coach except Andy Reid did not do it. He just didn't like the idea of it. I remember asking him once why, and I don't remember the answer. I think it was something just about like, you know, I have enough to do with. I kind of know the real answer. Andy's a control guy. He likes to control everything. Mm-hmm. And when you bring another team in, you don't have total control anymore, right? I mean, because you can't control what they're doing. So that's the real reason I think Andy didn't like it. But every other coach did. I mean, I go back to Buddy Ryan with the Eagles, and he, you know, that was craziness. They practiced with the Falcons one year and the Lions another year, And it was just like you talk about little skirmishes they have now. No, these are full out. Like,
oh, huge brawls. Difference between back then. I mean, there was, and coaches almost wanted that.
Yeah. Oh, Buddy did, of course. Buddy wanted to see who was, you know, tough and who wasn't. And who
now,
could, who was
now
fight.
They don't want that at all. In fact, that's why Matt LaFleur said in the first day on, I think it was Tuesday, was it Monday or Tuesday? Did they start on Monday or Tuesday?
Tuesday,
where he said no one-on-ones. That's where these fights start. They don't want anything to do with that. And in fact, on Wednesday, little dust up, not a big deal. It sounded bigger than it was on Twitter with Jarvis Landry and Eric Stokes going at it there. But that's to be expected. These are guys competing against each other. And on day one of practice, I heard the Packers defense was very verbal, jawing a lot at the Saints
Roswell
offense
Douglas
and
especially.
Roswell Douglas, right? And so it's like, okay, they've got that swagger, but you know, let's hopefully it gets backed up on the field, and the Packers defense is definitely looking to set a vibe and set the tone. I don't have any issues with that at all. So before we get any further into the joint practices, Mark, I forgot to mention a couple of moves that the Packers made on Wednesday. So they brought back receiver Travis Fulgham, who was with the Packers for a cup of coffee 9 days
in camp. He was a draft pick of the Lions, was cut by the Lions. The Packers picked him up. He was there for 9 days. The Packers cut him. Then the Philadelphia Eagles picked him up, and he actually played and played well. He actually led the Eagles in receiving that year. And then they cut him the following year, much to the chagrin of a lot of Eagle fans who couldn't believe that they would cut their leading receiver from the year before. And I don't know where he was after that. Might have been out of football, but he was. Denver signed him this year, during this offseason. He was with Nathaniel Hackett and the Broncos, and they cut when they had to get you know every team had to get down from 90 to 85 this week, and he was one of the five that the Broncos cut, and the Packers brought him back. And we both talked about this. I mean, we don't think that he's not making a team. He's there because he can play Friday. He knows the offense well enough that he can play Friday. There's a game game's Friday.
Yep.
Against the Saints.
Yep.
They're not going to play the starters again, so you won't see Lazard or Cobb or Watkins. Watson is still out. I think that the kid Davis from Wisconsin, didn't he get? He's been out of practice this week too, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's out of, so he probably won't play Friday. So they need some receivers. I mean, you don't want Dobbs playing 85 snaps or whatever. So you know they need another one. They have Dobbs. They have Samori Torrey, Amari Rodgers, Juwan Winfrey.
Yeah, Winfrey.
And that's only four, so
yeah,
this gives him a fifth guy at least.
Yeah. So, and no Malik Taylor, because Malik Taylor was released on Wednesday.
He's been hurt anyway.
Yeah, he's been hurt. He just got activated last week. He was in a red jersey. Right. I thought maybe the Packers might maybe hang on to him for special teams, but they got to get younger and faster and more athletic. And Malik Taylor is for his okay as he was just not dynamic at all. I mean, remember when he was the kick returner
right.
a couple of years ago and he was like the most undynamic kick returner in all the NFL? It was just, you got to get better and faster. So, you know, best wishes to Malik Taylor. Hopefully he can catch on somewhere if he gets healthy enough to play. But so he's out. What do you think the deal was with Fulgham? Did you get any insight from anybody over there as far as why somebody who is productive is still bouncing around?
Who, Travis Fulgham?
Yeah, Fulgham.
He had his 15 minutes of fame. That was it. I mean, he's not that good.
Okay.
I mean, the Lions, I mean, he's been, I mean, the Lions, this just in, the Lions aren't very good.
Right.
You get cut by the Lions, you usually don't get picked up by somebody else.
Right.
Do well.
Right.
That thing, but he just had everything went right for him for about a month and a half with the Eagles where, you know, he was great. Although the Eagles played the Packers that year. And it was like, oh, Packer Fulgham against his old team. And he did nothing against the Packers. I think he was like, I don't think he caught a pass.
Right.
And then it all at the end of that, like, he had his like four or five games where he was really incredible. It was amazing. And then the last four or five games of the season, or three, four, whatever it was, he really became just another, just a guy. I mean, and then Denver cut him already. He's not like Denver. I guess they're somewhat deep at wide receiver, but not crazy deep that, you know, he was cut already. He didn't make it the last cut. Again, I mean, like I said, he's here because he knows the offense and he can go. So for the same reason Dexter Williams was here last week. He's not making a team either.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah. You got to field a team. You got to have 11 guys on offense and defense.
Right. And if you're sitting 33 of them, which they did last week, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we might not even see some guys that played last week if they don't feel like they need. It's like, does John Runyon Jr. or Romeo Doubs need to play this week, for example? I don't think.
Dobbs does.
Maybe. Well, yeah, I guess maybe. You got to learn to hang on to the football a little bit.
And run the right routes.
You know what's funny with the time difference, Mark? I literally just got this just in. I just heard from Robin. Robin just reached out to me right now. He said, hopefully I'm not too late for the Oslo, Norway. Windy gray skies, 65 degrees Fahrenheit. Great day for picking blueberries on the meadows behind the cabin. So good job, Robin. You came sliding to home just in time to get on the show. Yeah. So, all right, now we feel better, right? I mean, he's been a regular every week. It's like, yes. That would be like if Harry didn't send in his weather one week. I'd be like, what happened? What's going on? But, okay, and then the other signing the Packers made, and this is another one where I think it's just for depth, is safety Devontae Cross, defensive back Devontae Cross. Again, I think the roster largely at this point is mostly set. I think there's some position groups or some guys that may still have a chance to come on and do something. But again, you always keep us grounded here. These are depth signings, and maybe they're trying to just get guys ready for the practice squad. And
yeah, a guy like Cross, I mean, I don't know a lot about him. He was played at Virginia. Another guy. You get, again, they're not real deep at safety numbers wise. The two starters are not going to play. Amos and Savage are not going to play. Levitt got hurt. He's, like we said, he's going to be out a while. So he's not playing, obviously. Maybe Vernon Scott doesn't play. Maybe they've seen enough that he's their number three that they don't play him. So all you have left is Sean Davis and the rookie Carpenter and I'm forgetting somebody, Ennis Gaines. So now you have another guy there. And, you give him a look. If he shows you anything, and that's what the practice squad. And then you put him on the practice squad to start the season. And if he's any good on the practice squad, then hey, maybe you got lucky and you found something.
I mean, right.
The Packers, especially under Gutekunst, have been pretty good at finding some guys that other teams discarded for whatever reason. And Alan Lazard that comes to mind, jumps right to mind. Right. I mean, he was on Jacksonville's practice squad, and the Packers saw enough of him or saw something that they liked and signed him, and he's gotten better and better to where now he's their number one wide receiver. Think about that.
Right.
So there's a couple others. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. There's other guys that they've signed through the years. Well, Roswell Douglas is, from last, although I still don't understand that. He's played well everywhere he's been, not as well as he did last year with the Packers, but he shouldn't have. I mean, that was just a bad evaluation by the Cardinals to not have him on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
But, so we'll see. I mean,
that doesn't surprise me at all. You know how I feel about the Cardinals and how they operate.
Now, that's kind of what I like about this front office is that they're always, and they'll do it during the season as well. They're always, it's Ron Wolf-like because Wolf did it a lot. Ted Thompson, not so much, but Wolf did a lot where those bottom three or four spots, you're not safe.
Right.
If you're 51, 52, 53 on the team, you're not safe, because if somebody gets cut somewhere else that they like, they're going to bring them in and get rid of you. Yep. I mean, they've done it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they cut, what, three guys now that early. I mean, these are early cuts. These aren't the last day down to the wire cuts. These are getting down to 85. They cut three guys that were on the team mm-hmm. in the past.
Yep.
Malik Taylor, who you mentioned.
Ramsey.
Randy Ramsey, who I never thought he was. I just thought he was way too small to be a 3-4 linebacker.
Yeah, and he had injury issues too. He didn't play much.
Yeah, and he's had, right, injury issues. And but people were talking about him. Oh, Randy Ramsey, he ain't gonna make the. I never thought he was gonna make. And then a guy I did think was gonna make the team, a guy that I kind of liked a little bit, but also banged up a little bit, was Dominique Daphne.
Daphne. I think of all the cuts, that's the one. That's the one. I'm not going to question the front office if they're cutting him. There's a reason for it. I'm not going to question the move. But of all the three, that's the one where I was kind of like I was bummed for him and also bummed for the Packers because he was good on special teams.
I thought so. I thought, you know, but again, he wasn't practicing. He didn't play last week. They're, right. You know, they're not. Here's what the new Packers are doing. They're, if you're a fringe player, if you're a bubble guy on the roster. And you're hurt, and you're not able to. They're not going to wait for you. They're not keeping you around waiting. I mean, if you're David Bakhtiari, yes, they'll wait for you to get healthy because that's not a fringe player. That's an All-Pro left tackle. If you're Mason Crosby and you're, you know, in your 20th year or whatever,
they'll keep signing guys. They'll keep signing guys we've never heard of before, just so they can kick in games, and then it'll be Crosby week one. Yes,
exactly. But if you're a bubble guy and you're not. They're not waiting around for you to get there. No, they're moving on because they don't have time for this now. Mm-hmm. We got it. So Daphne, Ramsey, and there'll be some more at the next cut of guys that, you know,
right.
That we might be somewhat surprised. I was a little surprised they cut the running back too.
Baylor. Well, and again, this is the other thing though. Like, and actually, Mark, it's funny you mentioned him. So I would have been like, oh, didn't he have a couple nice runs? But you remember, it's your own cautionary tale. It's a preseason game. It's one game.
Right.
So does that mean that he's going to ball out and break out and be a great player? He might, but there's a low percentage chance of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just thought they'd give him another look. I just thought, you know, why not give him another look against – although, unless – sometimes you do a guy a favor. If you like him, he's a good kid, you cut him now, the better chance of him getting signed and making another team – and if you wait to the last minute when teams are kind of set with their – like nobody's picking up B.J. Baylor at the last cut day.
No, but you know what? You know who else had a nice game if I want to go overboard too? I think they liked what Tyler Goodson did better.
That's what I was going to say. I think in their minds, Goodson is better than Baylor.
Yes.
They signed them both as undrafted free agents.
I mean, Goodson, Mark, Goodson, do you think there's a chance that Goodson might unseat Patrick Taylor?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Assume if Kylan Hill's healthy, he's gonna make the team, so he would be the third running back. But
you what, again, health is wealth. Durability is better is the best ability. If Goodson makes, I think Goodson's making the team over Taylor. I mean, again, it's a long. We're still a couple weeks to go, but I just think they see what they like something in Goodson. Taylor's been he's had injury issues. I think Goodson makes the team now. So Hill starts on injury reserve or PUP, whatever, they'll mm-hmm. probably just leave him on PUP, right? Yep. So he has to miss four games. If during those four games, Goodson gets a couple opportunities, say 2-3 carries a week, and makes the most of them, Hill might have to wait a little while to get back on the team.
Yeah, but you know what? That's like you said, that's a nice luxury. Then you don't have to rush him back.
Yes, that's a good problem.
Because Hill's injury was an ACL. I mean, and yes. I was so pissed when he brought the ball out of the end zone.
Exactly.
I overreacted, probably one of the worst overreactions I've ever had on Twitter in my entire tweeting career. I was so mad because as soon as he brought the ball out, I knew it was a bad decision. And then both he and the guy that he got hit by on Arizona both ended up getting hurt and having to go out of the game. And that was the end of his season. It's like, no, you're our returner. Thanks. You know, now we don't have this dynamic, speedy returner anymore. Yeah, I think Patrick Taylor is just, there's nothing special about him. He's okay. He's all of what a fourth running back should be, but the Packers need a little bit more than that. They need. I mean, come on, we're trying to win a championship here, and Goodson showed me a more wiggle.
That's what they're going, and that's what this front office. Gutekunst is the guy. He's the general manager, but I think it's more than him. I think it's his staff as well, Hendrickson and John Sullivan and all those guys. I think they're looking. They're always trying to get better.
They're churning their roster.
Yep. And I think other general managers and Ted, and listen, Ted did a lot of good. A lot of good. He drafted Aaron Rodgers. He drafted a lot of good players. But I think he was kind of status quo. Like, these are my guys. Like, he would keep Patrick Taylor. He would do that. I had him for, I'm keeping Taylor. He had his guys, and they were his guys, and they went north. So a guy was on a practice squad, he'd come up and take that guy's spot. And then it would, you know, if a guy got hurt or something, he was not out looking around as much as these guys do.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, Taylor's fine. I think Taylor, like you said, belongs on an NFL roster somewhere. But if Goodson's better, they're going to keep Goodson.
Right.
You know, and healthier.
They're younger, faster, dynamic. Younger, faster, dynamic. And listen, they have to find a replacement for Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is going to be replaced in the next year or two. If you know, either next year, or if not, if he's back next year, that's, you know, he's on major borrowed time. Then it's going to be the following season. So I'm not saying Goodson's the answer necessarily, but they have to start trying to figure it out. Because A.J. Dillon, you still are going to need somebody who's more shifty to go along with Dillon's power running. Man, I am so excited, Mark, to see Dillon and Jones on the field at the same time this year. Like, I watch, like, in week one, because of the game plan or whatever, there won't be a bunch of it. And you know, everybody always freaks out in week one. They're like, oh, well, what happened to the two back that we were supposed to see and all that kind of stuff? And but I'm excited. I mean, I like the roster overall. I mean, and I was going to get back to the joint practice and some of these guys, because we were talking about, like, what they did in the game. And we'll get a chance to see them again tomorrow in the next preseason game. But so you had, this is another thing I wanted to talk about too, because we always kind of talk about it beforehand, is what we hear about the practices, those of us that aren't there, from those that are covering. I mean, the only information we have is what we are shown. So unless somebody posts a video or tweets about it or says something, we don't know what's going on unless you're attending practice, right? So interestingly enough, this is, you know, on Tuesday, it was the Packers could do no wrong. Their defense was just absolutely showing the Saints offense the door, jawing, yapping at them, making plays left and right, sacks, pressure, all sorts of, you know, turnovers and all that other kind of stuff too. Then you get to Wednesday, and now the vibe is that the Packers offense is having trouble. Rodgers is getting pressured. He's not as crisp. He throws a pick over the middle. You have the skirmish and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, look, you know, there's probably a lot of good things that happened on Wednesday that didn't get tweeted out. There were probably some bad things that happened on Tuesday that didn't get tweeted out, right? So you covered a bunch of these practices. I know it was different when you did it. It wasn't like tweeted out and what's happening in real time and you wrote stories. But as a former beat writer, you know, you probably have some pretty good insight into those that are reacting to every single tweet at a practice.
Well, you know how I feel about that, right? I mean, I told you guys that, you know, when Paul was with us, we talked about the buzz and all that. It's practice. It's practice. It's practice. It's practice. Yeah, you can see some things. Not one, but don't put it on one day. Do it over a course of even a week or more. Like, let me just think of some examples. All right, for instance, the Eagles had a quarterback named Bobby Hoying. I don't know if you remember him or not, out of Ohio State. He played the end of one season. I guess it was 97. He played the end of the 97 season and looked pretty good. It was a terrible season for the Eagles. I think they went, I don't know how many games they won that year. Not many, five or six, whatever it was. But he played at the end of the year and looked okay. He beat the Steelers. Played real well against the Steelers, but lost a good game. Beat the Bengals, which was big for him because he was from Cincinnati. And Boomer was still the quarterback there, so that was a nice win for him. He looked like the next, you know, he looked like the answer at quarterback. Like I said, he was a third round pick. So next year he's your starter and everybody's excited about him. And okay, this is what we're going to, Bobby Hoying's going to be the guy. And now we're at camp, training camp. And again, this was a longer training camp than they are now. And still the two-a-days and doing more, you know, more to see, more practices. He didn't look right. He just didn't look good. And nobody really wanted to say it too loud. Because, again, we're saying it's practice. And a couple of his big supporters, and he had some both on the team and in the media, it's practice. You know, Bobby plays when the game, you know, he doesn't play well unless the lights
are on. He's a gamer.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, he's a game guy. He's not a practice guy. And you want to give him the benefit of the doubt because he did play well that last month. But he really was struggling in camp. And you know, your eyes don't lie. And then the season started, and he was even worse. I mean, he was benched by the sixth or seventh game, and then out of football and by the next year after, I think. So yeah, I mean, sometimes you do see things. And then there was a tight end that they signed 1 year, a veteran who, you know, he was like a 4 year veteran for somebody. I don't remember his name, real common name. I think it was like Johnson or Williams or something. But a guy that wasn't a star tight end, but he was decent. And Eagles signed him and told us his arrow's going up. He's going to be our guy. This, that, and other thing. And again, he was not good. He was dropping everything in camp. I mean, he couldn't catch a cold. And again, you know, you like to give benefit to the doubt because it is practice in camp. But again, what happened there was true. He was dropping passes in games as well. And then he wound up going to the bench and getting, I think he got cut middle of the year or whatever. And, you know, so yeah, there, some things do jump out at you. But again, like the story I told you last week, if you watch Reggie White practice, and didn't know, you know, there was no names on the back or numbers, and you didn't know who was who, and you're somebody that came from, you know,
Mars,
Oslo, Norway, and you know, you know, that, you know, and just watching, you'd say, man, that 92 is not a very good player.
No, I can see Robin. I can see Robin saying something there, and I just want you to know, Robin, I'm pretty sure you'd identify Reggie White.
Oh, Robin,
he would in particular, but yes.
If you're a guy coming in that didn't know names and numbers, and yes, you would say, "Man, that 92 is a big guy," but he doesn't do anything.
Well, and it's another reminder that players we think are going to be good don't always turn out. Players that come out of nowhere sometimes end up being really good and play for a long time. I'll use Kurt Warner as an example. Donald Driver's another one, too, seventh rounder. You know, plenty of undrafted free agents who are Hall of Fame. Plenty of first-round picks, Jamarcus Russell, who didn't do anything or didn't pan out at all.
Ryan
so
Leaf.
there's a lot to be said and done, even with the Packers here, a lot to be said and done. So, you know, and again,
to the other extent, there's always guys, and the Packers have had these through the years. I mean, I wasn't there watching, but reading about them, hearing about them. And, you know, every team has some guys that look, oh, my God, this guy's going to be a star. He's doing great in camp and preseason, and then the season comes and it's a different world. You know, they never do anything. We used to call them guys like Mr. August.
Yeah, Oneida Heroes is what they call him in Green Bay because
right.
of the. Yeah, for sure, and then and like Romeo Doubs had a couple of more drops in practice this week. I mean, it's practice. You never know. I mean, if that ends up happening in the game, then you can point back to it and say, well, there were signs that there was an issue here. And we all remember the learning curve and the development and growth that James Jones had to make in his career. He dropped all kinds of stuff early on.
And then MVS.
MVS became, you know, they got good. They became more reliable. They developed, they worked on it, and they got better. And then there were some guys who just didn't. I mean, you know, Romeo Doubs, the regular season could start, and he may find himself as the fifth wide receiver because when he gets in there, he may not run the right route. He may not do the right thing. And to that effect, Aaron Rodgers spoke to the young wide receivers earlier this week, kind of challenged them and said, look, he's kind of the same message that he's been saying, which is, look, you guys, you know, great. You were drafted. You have all these all this talent, all this pedigree, all these accomplishments you come in here with out of college, but we need production from you on the field. You have to show up. You have to run the right routes. You got to catch the football. You got to get on the same page on the offense. You got to block. You got to do all the right things. And apparently the receivers came out on Wednesday and had a much better showing than they did, or they stepped up and they had a little bit extra pep in their step, I guess. So that's a good thing. There's a lot of young receivers. We talked about the depth chart. They're going to rely on a lot of guys that don't have a lot of games under their belt to do some big things this year if they want to accomplish something. It's just the nature of losing a receiver like a Davante Adams.
No, you're right. And I like what Rodgers said and did this week with the wide receivers. I mean, and I guess it was kind of directed at Doubs more than anyone else because he praised his three veterans, right? He said Lazard has the makings to be a number one. He said Cobb's still the best, one of the best slot receivers in the game. And Watkins had his best day of practice, too. So he started by praising the three veterans. And then he said, some of these young guys got to step up, blah, 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 blah. You've heard all the things, right? Well, I, I think it was directed more at Dobbs. Watson isn't even practicing yet, so it couldn't be Watson. Maybe a little bit at Amari Rodgers, I don't know. But I think he wanted to humble. I mean, Dobbs has been getting a lot of press, right? Every day I'm reading about Dobbs. Everybody's writing about Dobbs. Everybody's talking about Dobbs, 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 Dobbs. And he makes some splash plays, which are nice. But, like, as you point out, he has dropped a couple. He dropped one in the game that wasn't it that turned into an interception, which, as you pointed out, and I think I agree with you 100% on this, that probably should have been a fumble, not an interception, the way it turned out, right?
Right. Yeah, I don't like the ruling on that at all. I mean, he had the ball, took a couple steps, and the DB took it away.
Yeah, I think that's a fumble.
Yes, I agree. Fumble.
So, I mean, no, I'm
not on the stat sheet, but it's...
And then he also has, and again, apparently, like, we don't know what the routes are. We have no idea if a receiver runs the right route or the wrong route. How would we know? We don't see the plays.
Right.
But the coach pointed out that some guys ran wrong routes. And then Rodgers made a point to say, and that's important. Listen, that's as bad as dropping a pass sometimes, because you run the wrong route, the quarterback knows the route, and he knows where you're supposed to be, and you're not there. Now he's looking, and that causes, and if more than one – apparently on the last interception, more than one person ran the wrong route. So now you're really looking like, oh, where is everybody? Like, he's supposed to be there. He's not there. He's supposed to be there. And then, bad things happen when guys aren't where they're supposed to be. That's a drop is a drop. All right. You can, the greatest drop, Jerry Rice drop passes, right? I mean, everybody, but running the wrong route, I mean, you got it. That's something that I would, if I'm a quarterback, I would be upset with you for runner. I mean, learn the plays. That's what you're here for. I don't think the Packers plays are that complicated, right? I mean, I've never heard anybody else say that. Oh, they're throwing too much at them. Run the right route. Be where the quarterback expects you to be.
Right. No, at a minimum, that's basic stuff. I mean, even in high school, I remember my high school coach saying, "I can't play you if you don't know where to line up or what route to run." Right. So if they're saying that in high school, at the pro level, That's kind of embarrassing if you don't know where to be. And obviously that's going to be an issue in getting you into a game, the mental aspect of it too. And these young guys, like I said, I've said it a bunch of times before, they're drinking through the fire hose and the information that they're taking in. But some of those basics, you've got to find a way to make it routine or to get it down and just practice it. If you have to take your mental reps at home, whatever it is, go work on lining up or what direction you're going, and just, you can either do it or you can't. You only get 3 hours on a Sunday, as I say, once a week, to prove that it matters, because you can be the worst team against the best team, but if you play the best 3 hours of that day against the best team, then you might win that game. So, that's...
And again, I don't want to come down too hard on Dobbs in particular, because like I said, he has made some big plays. And for everything I've heard about him, and I told you last week, I ended up talking to his old college quarterback, Carson Strong. The kid works hard, so he's not, I mean, he's going to, from what I, again, I don't know him personally, but from everything I've heard and talked to and know about him, he's going to take what Rodgers said to heart, and he's going to work harder, and he is going to study harder. And, he still may drop a pass here and there, because that happens, but I think he'll run better routes going forward. I think that he needed that wake up. That, again, that should come from coaches too. Rodgers shouldn't have to be the coach there, but. And I just wonder if things maybe he was walking around a little too happy with himself, mm-hmm. because of all the attention he was getting.
Yep. Yeah. Some of these guys end up feeling themselves a little bit and getting ahead of it. Well, like I said, there's still more. There's another 2.5-3 weeks of training camp for them to in preseason for them to either make or break or change the story or have some things to work on or all that other kind of stuff too. There's going to be ups and downs, and I think that's good for a young player. Let it happen now. Let him get humbled now and realize, hey, this is going to get handed to you. Even if you've had a good day of practice, look what you did the next day. You came out on Wednesday and had a couple drops on some deep balls. Well, that's the nature of football. And these guys know that. They've been playing for 10 years already now, and now they're at the pro level. But I like the joint practice aspect. I like the fact that you have somebody else, someone else across from you. You get the real sense of competition. You get a real sense of whether or not you can beat somebody, because if you're going up against the same guy every day, you need some different looks and all that other kind of stuff too to see what your team is, where the bar is, what the measuring stick should be, and I like the overall vibe there. I mean, I think that's a good thing. And again, there's a game tomorrow, and we'll see what the Packers come out with. I mean, the biggest thing is you know, when you mentioned the throw, the third interception from Love and that play, I don't remember the opportunity there, the exact play too, but, you know, can Love improve and show some improvement? Maybe he instead, maybe he throws that ball away. If you're going to try to force it into somebody and you're not sure, okay, that's fine. I get throwing the receiver open, but you really get now you understand how talented Aaron Rodgers is in throwing receivers open when Jordan Love tries to do the same thing and it gets picked off, you know, and you see some of those things and it's like, hey, appreciate how good Rodgers is at some of those things. But the biggest thing is these players need to take steps forward and improve. You don't want to see the same mistake happening again. So you don't want to see Dobbs drop another ball on Friday. You don't want to see him, you know, get a ball taken away by a DB, for example. You don't want to see Jordan Love get picked off three times again, whether it's the receiver's fault or not. If Tyler Davis absolutely has to play tight end in this game, which I'm assuming he does because they don't have enough healthy bodies otherwise, does he drop another two balls and create a huge problem for the offense? Move the needle. Let's see the improvement in the team. Special teams is one area where I want to see it, because I think a lot of the guys that are playing specials right now are going to play special because it's that back half of the roster. Not everybody. I mean, there's some starters that haven't played that are going to play special teams, but you just want to see that improvement. I mean, I guess, Mark, that's what I'd ask you is, what are you most looking for? Is that it, or is there something else in particular you're going to be watching for?
No, I think you kind of summed it up. I just wanted to add, what I like about the joint practices, and, you know, from a writer standpoint or fan standpoint, whatever, I know, like, when I covered them, was you don't know, like, when you're playing against yourselves, right, when, Packers or Packers defense against Packers offense or vice versa, whatever how it is. So I remember days at Eagles camp where, you know, we're watching them, and somebody will say, man, this secondary looks pretty good. I think the secondary is going to be good. And I'm like, or are the wide receivers just bad? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just maybe no Eagles wide receiver. I don't, you know, because you don't know. I mean, maybe the secondary is real good, or maybe, but we don't, let's see them against another group and see how good or bad they are, you know? Or vice versa, where you could say, oh man, the offensive line is struggling. Maybe the defensive line is just really good. So you don't, and it's funny, I used to ask John Harbaugh. I've talked about Harbaugh with you. You know, he and mm-hmm. I got along pretty well. But I'd always ask him in practice or in camp, if a punt gets blocked, are you happy or mad? Are you happy that, hey, we blocked a punt? Or are you mad that we had a punt blocked?
Mm-hmm.
And he would laugh and say, depends on how it was, who was out there. But, you know, he didn't give me a good answer on that. He was just kind of like, that's a good question. But because really, are you happy or not? You know, your guy blocked a punt, so maybe your punt block team is pretty good. But hey, we just got a punt block. We can't have that happen, right? So,
yeah, if your fourth team blocks a punt against your starters, I would assume that's probably not good. You're mad.
But, you know, I mean, usually it was like, you know, the guys against the guys. So, yeah, but whatever. I mean, so when you're only going against yourself, you really don't know how good or bad you are, because, like I said, are your receivers good, or is your secondary bad, or vice versa? Now you're going against a different team. You can see, okay, well, our receivers are better, beat their secondary, or our secondary, you know, covered their receivers very well, or whatever. And same with the offensive line, defensive line kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, to me, it just gives you a better sense of where you're, the team you're covering or writing about or like, where they are, you know, as opposed to just going against the same your guys. You
right.
know? That's what I liked about it. I don't know.
Yeah, we got a better sense for how they compete against or stack up against not only another team, but it's another NFC team. So yeah. That's not a bad thing. And like I said, another chance to play in another game. So what else? Were there any other topics that we didn't get to or that we missed? I know we wanted to talk about our takes on the joint practice and, you know, kind of boring. We didn't have anything to argue about because we both agreed on it. But it is a good thing. But are there any other topics that I'm forgetting? Anything else?
No, I think we covered
most of
the guys that got cut. And I just want to say, you know, one thing I want to watch, and I watched it very, you know, I wrote about it this week actually too, is the main thing, the thing that we've harped on a lot is special teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last week, again, you know, preseason game, a lot of guys aren't there and stuff, but I thought for most, they had their ups and downs, but I thought a 50-yard kickoff return was something nice to see. We haven't seen
and the
one
fact
of those
that it was
while.
Amari Rodgers was even nice too.
Yeah, so that was a good that was the highlight. Obviously, the rest of the returns, nothing special. A penalty on a return, which was never a good thing. The coverage seemed to be not great, but better than better than the worst in the league, like it's been the last couple. The kicker was awful on that. That was the worst, one of the worst missed field goals ever.
Former kicker.
He's gone now. So.
Yeah. Gabe Berkich is no longer.
Yeah. The punter was fine. He only had two punts. Nothing wowed me, but he was. So, and I want to. I'm gonna focus on special teams again, just because I want to see that. And they had 11 guys on the field on every special teams play.
That
so that was
amazing. How helpful that is, right?
Yeah. I'm going to try to focus on that a little bit again this week, just to see the coverage and also who's out there on them. Cause that'll like McDuffie was on all of them last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, that tells me something right there. John Charles was out there a lot. That's something that if you watch, who's out, who's doing what, it gives you a little indication of who, especially with a new coach, who the new coach likes and who he thinks is going to be his guys.
Right.
And it looked like McDuffie and what's his name? The guy that got hurt was out there a lot too. Chris Barnes was on a lot of special teams,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense. Now he's a backup linebacker, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'll be a key to special teams as well. But we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah. Ed McDuffie, I like seeing him come. It's funny. Now all of a sudden the Packers have these riches of talent on the inside linebacker. It's almost like the football gods finally said, let the floodgates open. This team has been a barren wasteland of inside talent for the last 10 years. And all of a sudden now, not anymore. It's good. We got a chance to see some Quay Walker on that note, which was nice. And I think hopefully we'll see some Wyatt unless they're going to bubble wrap him because he was injured. I think he was in concussion protocol. I don't know if he's already been determined he's not going to play this week, but hopefully they get a chance to see him out there. The Slaytons up front too. So there's a lot of young guys that we'll have a chance to look at and talk about next week, but not a bad recap for the past couple days. So I guess as far as the game being on Friday and you riding away as you always do, what is up now at Packer Report and what's coming up?
Well, up now, like I said, the story on my takeaways from special teams, their first game, what went right, what still need, but the gist of it was that they're better than, it was the debut of the new special teams and here's what they did and didn't do. Coming up later today is a kind of a note, just some random notes about, training camps is about over now, right? So some things what I'm thinking about, some of the stuff we just talked about now, but just a little notebook on everything from the tight ends to wide receiver to the guys that got cut and things like that, so.
Okay, excellent. And I'll have a Quick Slants podcast out on Monday talking about the game and any other updates from the weekend. Hopefully everyone stays healthy.
The game isn't on nationally this week, is it?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to have to do. I'll find a way. Somewhere.
Find a friend. If anybody has any legal, of course, wink, wink, ways for us to watch the game and wants to help us out, that's fine. Otherwise, I need to find a friend that's got the NFL Game Pass. Well, yeah, but if you don't live in market, that's why Game Pass is nice, because I don't live in the market of the team that I'm following, so I don't end up I'm not subject to any blackout. Which the only time that
I thought okay, I misread what I was reading. I thought I only got the Panthers, I don't get the Panthers. I get everybody but the Panthers.
Maybe that's actually I'm not exactly sure, because I've always been out of market. I'm in Phoenix, so I've never had to deal with the in market. I know that for other sports, if you have like the MLB or NBA ticket or something like that, your local teams are still blacked out, which I think is ridiculous. But now that's a whole other tangent. But hopefully we'll get a chance to watch the game. If nothing else, NFL Network will replay it afterwards, and then they'll cut out all the commercials, so that'll be nice. I can watch a condensed version of it at some point. But in the meantime, everybody, summer's winding down. I hope everyone is staying healthy wherever you're at. Stay hydrated. Thanks for rolling along with the Thursday edition of the Pack Day Podcast. We will be back again next week. Everybody, enjoy the Saints game. Enjoy the weekend. And as always, go Pack, go.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.